This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about donuts.
And I am so happy somebody brought a box of a dozen donuts into the office and left it on our table.
Although I have to just complain for a minute.
Oh, please.
So on top here is a maple bar.
Yep.
And there's a raised yeasted or a glazed raised donut leaning against it, getting the maple stuff on it. I don't like that.
Yeah,
I don't want my donuts touching. Shouldn't there be by now in the history of donut eating, shouldn't there be a better way of transporting a variety of donuts than just a box?
Oh, that's a good point. I was going to say that I thought you were going to say was, isn't there like a standard way to pack the box? And I think there sort of is.
Well,
this isn't it.
This guy took a lot of care, but I don't know that I like what he did with it.
I don't think you can say he took a lot of care if there's a donut gooshing another donut.
God,
that's a technical donut term.
Oof. I think we need to start eating. I mean, I'm like drooling.
Oh, yeah. I've possibly never been more excited about a show than this one. Just a raised glazed.
Let's go down memory lane, Matthew. Mm-hmm. So when I was little, my dad was the bearer of donuts. He would go out garage sailing
in the morning. Male seahorse is also the bearer of donuts.
Uh-huh. He would go out garage sailing in the morning and would come home with like this greasy wax paper bag from the local Safeway, from like the bakery at the Safeway, with some sour cream, like old-fashioned, unglazed, plain donuts in it.
Nice.
And I just remember there is like, maybe we should taste that next.
Yeah.
There's something about that flavor. That was sort of the way that I was indoctrinated into thinking about donuts. That was sort of the ultimate, was the plain old-fashioned. I remember I at some point sort of being told that I was maybe supposed to kind of look down on the glazed yeasted.
Really? Why?
Because they're just sort of like sweet air pockets. But I really like a good sweet air pocket.
Was this around the time Krispy Kreme came into the zeitgeist? And like everyone was excited about it, and then there was an immediate backlash about how like it's really fried Wonder Bread. We'll talk a little more about Krispy Kreme later, I think.
So far, I'm not loving either of these as like examples of the genre.
No, but the thing about donuts is any donut is better than no donut for the most part.
That is so right. It's like sex and pizza.
Right. Like all these things should be put together, sex, pizza, and donuts.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
In a box.
Yes. What about you and your donut history?
I definitely remember Winchell's and Dunkin' Donuts being a thing growing up in Portland. There aren't many of those. There are no Dunkin' Donuts on the West Coast anymore.
Winchell's was totally a thing where I grew up in Oklahoma. We definitely had a Winchell's.
Yeah.
We had Dunkin' Donuts.
I remember Winchell's more than anything else. And I remember I would go on like a kick with a particular donut for a while, and that would be my donut, and then I'd move on to another one.
What was your donut?
The ones I remember most clearly were the French cruller, especially the chocolate.
Okay, what is a French cruller?
Well, it's like it's regular donut shape, except it's sort of crawlerized. It's got like a ripply texture to it. I don't know how they make it.
Hmm.
But you would recognize it. Are you asking me like the interviewer who knows the answer to the question?
No, I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
Folks, we'll post a picture of a French crawler, even though there isn't one in this box.
Well, even though I somehow believed that I wasn't supposed to be, I don't know, that the raised glazed were not like the best donuts, mm-hmm. I really loved the raised ones with the chocolate glaze
on top.
Me
too.
Yeah, I feel like that is like tailor-made for a kid.
I
love the way when you bite into it, like the whole thing just sort of squishes into
together.
Your mouth. And then, you know, like, well, in the case of this one we're eating today, just bounces right back.
Yeah. It's wow. like, what is it like? It's like memory foam.
It's like memory foam. Yes.
Okay. The donut you're cutting now.
Oh, wait. What's a bear claw?
That's what I was going to say. That I think the next thing in my donut evolution after I got bored with the French crawler, which has this kind of, you know, light texture with like a bunch of stuff going on. The bear claw is my next thing. As I remember it. So a bear claw is sort of a pastry that's. I mean, it's technically a donut, but it's sort of like in Danish-ish also. I mean, it is fried.
Because it's got like a filling.
Right.
Right? I almost bought one today.
Yeah, sort of jelly donut-y. The bear claws I remember from Winchell's when I was a kid, I remember them looking basically like a giant human foot, but a donut, and you could like eat the toes off of it. I don't think this really happened. If anyone knows what I'm talking about and remembers this also, please let us know. Facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast.
What are they usually filled with? Because I almost bought a bear claw today, and the guy at the bakery told me that it was filled with apple, which I didn't like the sound of.
I mean, usually like a cinnamon glaze type of thing, I think. Oh. But it can be multiple fillings. It's about the shape.
Maybe I misunderstood, but like, because I pointed to what turned out to be the apple fritter, and I was like, what's that? And then I pointed to this other thing and said, oh, is that a bear claw? And he said, yes. And I said, what's it filled with? And he said, apple. Do you think maybe he was still back on the old apple fritter? Maybe he thinks I'm really dumb.
That's possible. This apple fritter. What is flavor?
Like, are you still into donuts?
Oh, who isn't still into donuts?
Idiots. What's your flavor of choice now?
Oh, this is a good question. So I love the apple fritter. I think
should we taste?
Yeah,
this
I think
one?
I've convinced myself that the apple fritter is kind of healthy.
Are you shitting me, Matthew? Look
I know
at this.
I'm not saying, you know. I'm a complex person, and
wait,
I can,
is this what they always look like? Because this looks like death.
So this is like a giant hamburger patty kind of apple fritter. Sometimes they're thicker and more rusticated. But this is a perfectly acceptable apple fritter shape.
Oh, I don't like that.
Love it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. It's too apple cinnamony.
How can something be too apple cinnamony? What are you talking about?
I don't like that.
All right. I'll take the rest.
Okay, what else do you like?
I love the old fashioned with almost any topping.
I got a glazed one.
Let's try that because I think the point of the old fashioned shape is to get lots of crunchy corners. Mm-hmm. Or as we call them on the show, crusty corners.
Let's see.
So
I do love the crunch.
So listeners, we are of course eating all of each donut we're trying today. So when you're at the office and someone brings in a box of donuts, which as far as I know is the greatest thing that can happen at an office, neither of us work in an office. How many do you eat?
So,
ooh, a jelly donut.
No, this is just a plain cake.
But it doesn't have a hole.
Well, it does. It's just sort of filled with powdered sugar. So, Matthew, this is my donut of choice.
Oh, the powdered sugar. Now,
powdered sugar cake. Oh my God. I mean, if I don't die by aspirating powdered sugar, it's my favorite.
Oh. I'm not a big fan of powdered sugar.
Oh my God, this tastes like it's going to just rot my face off, and I love it. Mmm.
I don't really get... Explain the allure of the powdered sugar.
Oh, I just love it. I love the taste. I know. Are you like... Can you taste the cornstarch in it?
No, it's not really that. It's like...
Oh, it's like...
I feel like if it's going to be that messy, there should be a real, like, serious, well-thought-out reason for it. And I'm just not seeing it.
Oh, I feel it. I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm not feeling it. However, having said that...
I think, in general, cake donuts are my favorite.
I think in general, cake donuts are my favorite too, but I really like a Bismarck sometimes.
So what's a Bismarck?
A Bismarck is the one that has pastry cream in the middle. It's chocolate glazed with pastry cream in the middle.
Oh, it's chocolate
glazed. Yeah, chocolate glazed raised donut.
Is it like the Boston cream pie?
It's exactly the same. They call it the Boston cream at Dunkin' Donuts.
So we've got a maple bar. I've never had a jelly donut.
What? What? I feel like every week there's something you've never had.
I am full of surprises.
Is there a way we could like, I mean, is that, how did you make it to age whatever without having a jelly donut? Do you think, could we do a show where we've like generated a list of like all the experiences you haven't had before that most people your age have and just jam them all into one episode?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, let's do.
Okay.
Should we start with like never done cocaine?
Yeah, we're going to start by administering you a purity test.
I've never smoked a cigarette. You mm-hmm. haven't either, have you?
I have. I did not like it.
No.
Maple bar.
I don't like that. It just tastes like log cabin.
Which we've determined before I like.
I think we have determined before that I am like the least fun person in the world.
That's right. You don't like log cabins. This jelly donut's starting to get kind of weepy, you know? you know, like the thing that happens to a glazed donut after it's been sitting out too long and it gets moist and weepy. I think it's one of the saddest things that can happen to a food. Like when you, especially like if you encounter a selection of donuts either at a store or in an office and they've all like gone off in that way. And like, you know, that if you had gotten there in time, you could have had one, but now there's just no point.
What do you think of that? I mean, this is my first jelly donut.
It's great.
It is? I mean, I think it's good.
I think, you know what I'm going to say about this? I think it would be good with powdered sugar.
Some of them have powdered sugar?
Yes, yes. A jelly donut can be just glazed or can have powdered sugar. I think maybe I'm coming around on powdered sugar. I've come so far in such a short time. Aren't you proud of me?
Well, it's that time of the month again.
So it is. Yes, we've recorded so many episodes together, our cycles have synchronized.
Pledge drive time again.
Oh, that time.
It's that time of the month.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Good. I thought maybe you meant something else. All right. So, as you know, we don't ask a lot.
We don't.
I'm not sure. Maybe we do ask a lot. But
maybe even too much. But we're going to keep going anyway.
Yes. We give this show away for free. We do so every week without fail, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
We do it because we love getting together to talk about donuts and stuff.
Yep. We love eating fondue for lunch.
Yep. We did a live show recently and we're going to do more of those.
Mm-hmm.
The point I'm making is, you get this for free, but, we work really hard on it and, you know, it's become a part of our jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. And it costs us money to do it. For the first, I think, 4 years of the show,
we were making bupkis.
Yeah,
which is an Eastern European delicacy.
And at a certain point, we thought, you know, this costs us money. Maybe people would like to contribute to making this show.
Yes, and it's not, you know, it's about you. You can look at this as giving us something, or you can look at it as giving you something. And
really, how's that?
Well, let me tell you, because
do you get that warm, fuzzy feeling that Ira Glass talks about?
Yes, you get you catch a warm, fuzzy thing from Ira Glass.
God, yes, I've always wanted that.
Okay,
can I catch a warm, fuzzy thing from Jad Abumrad too?
I think you already have. I think we all have.
Yeah. Okay.
So my point. Let's just skip right to the punchline here. If you sign up at the $1,000 a month level, Ira Glass will come sit in your lap while you're listening to the show.
If you sign up at the $100 level, you can sit in my lap or Matthew's lap while we record the show.
Could we
mean $100 a month?
I think for that, we mean $100 a day.
Whatever, I'm easy.
Okay. Could they sit in one of our laps and like put their feet up on the other lap?
Sure.
That's an extra 50 a month.
Yeah, that's an extra 50. That's like 150 a month.
Okay.
Let's cut right to it.
All right. Oh, yeah. Now we're going to cut right to it. So that actually is a good way to introduce the fact that we're doing a couple of new things this time around for the Pledge Drive. And the way this works, which has not changed, is you can become a subscriber at the $5 a month regular subscription level. And for that, you get a handwritten postcard from us, a spilled milk postcard, not one of Molly's French postcards. And you're just going to give me, you're just going to glare at me.
Are we going to cut that part?
What? Which part?
The part with me coming out of my hole in France.
No, that wasn't a callback to that. That was just the fact that you talk about France all the time.
Or I don't talk about France all the time. What if I start talking about Thailand? You're still going to think I talk about France all the time. It's just our shtick.
That you are alleged to talk about France all the time.
Sure.
How about that?
And Robert Pattinson.
And that you live in a groundhog borough.
Our pats.
Wait, is that something you talk about?
No.
Okay.
I talked about Tim Riggins.
This is a tight Pledge Drive message. This is the kind of thing that makes people stop listening to NPR.
Like, let's just cut to the chase. I'm tired of this.
No, wait. Let's take a break and bring on Yanni to play a few tunes. So
you can subscribe.
At $5 a month, you get a handwritten postcard from us, and you get on our super secret mailing list that Molly only got subscribed to recently.
True story.
You'll find out about upcoming episodes.
It's so exclusive. I wasn't even a part of it.
You will get the inside track on when we're planning a live show before the rest of the listening public.
You will also get secret subscriber only bonus episodes.
Yes. And we have already done 4 of those, I believe, and we're going to do another one soon. Mm-hmm. That means if you subscribe now, you can start listening to those 4 episodes immediately, and you will have access to all of the future ones for as long as you're a subscriber.
Wow. You can also subscribe at the $10 level, which we call the magnum bonum sustaining member level. That's $10 a month. And you get
all the things we've done in our lives. Coming up with that name is the one we're most proud of.
And you get everything that the $5 level gets, plus you get a spilled milk t-shirt, tote bag, or mug.
I highly recommend the mug. It's pretty great. I drink out of it all the time.
I like the tote bag. It's actually a really sturdy tote bag. It's not one of them flimsy tote bags.
That's true. Sometimes I go out and I carry the tote bag. Like, I drink from the mug, then I go out carrying the tote bag. What was the other thing? A t-shirt?
The t-shirt.
I don't actually have one of those, okay. But they're great.
Great. Anyway, or you can, and this is a new feature, you can sign up to pay the amount of your choice each month.
Yes. So it's still minimum $5. Mm-hmm. But so if you pledge a minimum of $5, you'll get the postcard, the mailing list, and the secret episodes. If you pledge $10 or more, you will get all of the magnum bonum stuff, which is all of that stuff, plus the piece of swag. And maybe we should specify at this point that we probably weren't serious about the lap thing.
Yeah, maybe we should, I guess.
But I don't know. If you pledge $100 a month, you know,
I'll consider it.
Yes.
I will consider it.
Yeah, there'll be some sort of hygiene inspection.
We should also say that you can cancel at any time.
Absolutely.
This is not like we're not going to be coming to your
what? Where are you going with this? Your bar mitzvah?
No, I was just thinking we're not going to like come try to collect from your like great grandchildren or something.
Oh, I don't know. That sounds pretty great.
Anyway,
if you are 110 years old and you subscribe to the show, maybe get your great-grandchildren to help out with the process. I mean, it's really simple. All you do is go to spilledmilkpodcast.com/donate. I wouldn't trust my grandmother to do it necessarily.
Anyway, and you know, we've also added another new feature, and that is that you can now buy a subscription to Spilled Milk as a gift for someone else. They will get all the things that we have just listed above.
They will get everything their heart desires.
And they don't pay a thing because you are paying it.
Exactly. Yeah. Which was probably the thing their heart desired.
It's such a romantic gift. I mean, Valentine's Day, Easter.
Valentine's Day
Mother's
happened
Day,
recently.
Mother's
yes.
Day. Father's Day.
Are you saying
4th of July?
These are all romantic holidays? Yeah. I'm going to get some fireworks in the bedroom for my 4th of July present.
I know you are.
Great. I can't wait. That's coming up very soon.
We don't ask often. We try to leave you guys alone, but we do know that there are some of you...
We try to leave you alone except for talking in your ears for 20 minutes every week.
Yeah, okay, fine. No, that's not that much. I mean, how many minutes are there in a week?
Oh, 1,000.
That's a day.
Oh, yeah. Minutes in a week? Oh,
Who cares?
10,000. There's 10,000 minutes in a week.
It was a hypothetical question.
Okay.
Anyway, you can help support the show. You know, we will always keep this show free for everyone.
Yes, for everyone, forever and ever. Amen.
Yes.
The serious part of the message, supporting your favorite show feels really great. I know we've said this before. It continues to be true. I contribute to my favorite podcast.
Does it feel great the way that getting the warm, fuzzy feeling from Ira Glass
probably
feels
not that great, but like, you know, if that's a 10, this is like a 7.5.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I mean, you're going to feel warm in areas that haven't been warm for a long time. And
like your cockles.
Yeah. And fuzzy in other areas. So if that sounds good, you will definitely want to become a Spilled Milk subscriber or give a gift subscription. You can do that at spilledmilkpodcast.com/donate, or if you just go to spilledmilkpodcast.com, it'll be pretty obvious what to do there. We really appreciate your support. We love doing this show and having it be part of our jobs.
Thank you. So have you ever made donuts?
I have made donuts a couple of times. It's a real pain.
I've made donuts too, and it's always delicious. I made this great recipe from Savart. I think I put it on my blog a long time ago. They're like free form. You sort of blob them into the hot oil. And it had like yogurt and lemon. So they were like really bright and, or maybe ricotta and lemon or something. And then
Sounds like a dredge them in
powdered sugar.
When I've made donuts, my favorite thing to put on a homemade donut, we've done cake donuts mostly, and toss them with cinnamon sugar.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I think in the same way that any donut is better than the lack of a donut, any freshly made donut is better than any donut that's been sitting around for a couple hours.
And, so true.
I mean, I can think of a couple of places like Federal Donuts in Philadelphia. They've got a few branches. You can like go in there and order a freshly made donut and they'll fry it to order, which is crazy.
Where is this?
In Philadelphia. We should go.
Let's go.
Listeners, hold on. We'll be back.
So is there a difference in the batter or the dough between an old fashioned and a cake?
I don't believe so. I think it's just in the cutting.
Hmm. So I was noticing when I was there that they've got all these twists and stuff, and isn't it just the same thing as the ring? Why do you get a twist? Is it bigger?
Sometimes, but I think there's something about the way the twist goes into your mouth and, like, you know, the way the curves of the twist nestle against your lips when you're biting into it.
Do you pull the twists apart?
I think that's a very personal question. I think some people pull the twists apart. Yeah, I think I'll like take a couple bites, then start unraveling the twists.
And so if you had a choice between like a maple bar and a ring-shaped donut that had the same maple glaze, which would you choose?
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh my God, think carefully.
I think there are probably some listeners who don't know what a maple bar is.
Really?
And I say that because I know there are parts of the country that don't have them. Like, you know, I've lived in the Northeast and they do not have maple bars, or at least they didn't in the late 90s. You know, it's a bar, raised bar-shaped donut with maple glaze. And for some reason, they're more popular in the Northwest than anywhere else, as far
really?
As I know.
Really?
Yeah. Like, and it's not like...
But it seems like such a Vermont thing.
I know. And maybe they have... I've never been to Vermont. Maybe they have them in Vermont.
Maybe.
Vermonters.
Or they're too busy eating like cider donuts out there, those bastards. Cider donuts.
Oh, I've made cider donuts.
Oh my God. You know what we should have here? We should have like the apple spice donut, the cider spice donut.
Yes, we should have that.
Apple cider donut.
We should take that up. We should take that up with the person who brought the donuts.
Oh, sorry. They didn't have any.
Oh.
I don't think. Or maybe they did and I just forgot. But oh, that is like the best, actually. It's like the union of spice cake and like fatty oil and sugar.
Yep, that sounds like a donut.
Oh, so good.
So wait, so when you were growing up in Oklahoma, were there maple bars?
I don't know because I don't like them. So out here on
the Spilled Milk compound.
Yeah, no, we hear a lot about Timmy Ho's or Tim Hortons.
Or Timmy Ho-Ho's.
Timmy Ho-Ho's? I thought it was Timmy Ho's.
I'm not sure, actually.
Anyway, Tim Hortons is a Canadian donut chain.
which I think is coming. They have some in the U.S. already, and I think they're planning to do more.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, anyway.
Ever since they merged with Burger King.
Really? They merged with Burger King?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
True story.
Well, everybody, I remember when the first time I went to Vancouver, everybody was like, oh, you have to go to Tim Hortons and get some donuts. But from what I understand, they're just sort of like normal donuts, right?
Well, they are.
But you can get Timbits.
Yeah, the two things. So we haven't talked about donut holes yet at all. Donut holes are great. I love donut holes.
I think they're the best form in which to eat a donut.
I think so too, because you can have a bunch of different flavors without having to like cut slices out of them or just take bites out of them and put them back in the box, which is why I don't work at an office anymore.
And you have like this more of that sort of golden brown, potentially crispy surface.
Yes. So at
in relation to the soft interior.
Yes. So a couple things about Tim Hortons. Their original sour cream glazed donut is fantastic. And the Timbits, the donut holes, they make a jelly one with like a little teeny tiny like half teaspoonful of jelly inside. So cute.
Oh, it's so cute. So cute. Okay, well, now I'm tempted. I love saying Timbits.
Oh yeah. And you'll love...
I knew somebody named Tim or Timothy. I'd call him Timbits.
Right. And
FYI.
Okay. Listeners, if your name is Tim, Molly wants to be your friend, but you're about to get an unlikable
totally
nickname.
Emasculating nickname.
Right. Hey, Tim, how are you, Timbits? This is probably a problem people in Canada have a lot.
I am so...
Especially because it's really cold up there.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, what does that have to do with anything?
Oh, shrinkage. It was a shrinkage joke. Like, because when you're cold, your bits get... Let me explain this further.
Great. Okay.
So when you go to Canada...
So when you get donut holes, what do you usually do? Do you usually get like a half dozen and you get like a couple of each, or are you just like, do you have a particular donut hole that's your favorite?
So at Tim Hortons, I think they sell them in boxes of 10, 20, or 40, and usually I get the 20, not all for myself. I used to feel like that it was annoying to specify which donut holes I wanted. But
really?
Then, I know. Then I got over that, and I'm like, you know what? There are some that I don't really like that just taste like a ball of dough. I guess they're all balls of dough.
They are all balls of dough.
But there are like a few kinds that kind of all taste the same and don't have really anything interesting going on.
Wow, Matthew, this is the closest you've come to a rant in a long time.
Oh, let me... You want to hear my rant? Mm-hmm. I hate sprinkles.
You do? Oh my God, because this was actually one of my favorites today.
Okay.
The one with the sort of white icing and multicolored sprinkles.
That is my favorite kind of donut, is any donut that doesn't have sprinkles on it, because sprinkles ruin everything. There, I admit it.
Really?
I'm a person who hates.
Don't you love the texture when they crunch between your teeth?
No, because I hate happiness. No, that's what I object to.
I love that.
Like they taste like weird and like, you know, you mentioned like cornstarch flavor. No, that was a different episode. You know, they have like...
No,
kind
I
of
just
like
did, a, I tasted it again with... Or I talked
oh,
about
no,
it with
right, right.
Sugar.
They have like, you know, like a kind of bitter, like a Necco wafer kind of flavor to them.
I hate you.
And just why? I understand they look like wow, like I put a rainbow on my donut.
So there was this...
When you eat a donut, the rainbow is in your mind.
So you're so right. You are so right.
I don't need a rainbow on my donut.
So I was in line at the donut place in front of a guy who, as I was gathering up my giant heaving box of donuts to leave, I heard him order two cake donuts. One was with chocolate glaze and nuts, and the other was like plain with nuts. I've never thought to have a donut with nuts on top.
I've definitely had a donut with nuts.
It just would never occur to me.
Yeah.
How is it?
It can be very good. Have you ever had a donut with bacon like they do at Voodoo Donuts in Portland?
No, I'm generally averse to bacon in all forms except like sort of, you know,
regular,
traditional savory ones.
I have made maple bacon donuts that were really good, like made with real maple syrup. Mm-hmm. By the way, that's a thing you can do at home, which you'll never find this at a donut shop in my experience. But at home, you can make maple glaze with just maple syrup and powdered sugar.
Oh my gosh,
that's really good.
That sounds great. That sounds great.
Can I talk about Japan?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, so the most popular donut chain in Japan is called Mr. Donut, and it actually started, I think we've talked about this before.
Oh, you had like a punch card for it.
Oh, absolutely. A loyalty card that they would like add up points, and then you could get a prize.
I bet it was better than any of these.
So they're really good donuts, and they have some like Japanese inspired flavors, but mostly just like their regular donuts are really good. The thing about Mr. Donut that I love more than anything else is that on their website, and we'll link to this at spilledmilkpodcast.com, they have a complete like hall of fame of every single donut they have ever served in the history of the shop, by organized by year. So if you're like, hey, I remember back in like 2011, I went to Mr. Donut and I had this ginger donut with like a chocolate swirl. And what was that? Am I misremembering this? You can go to the website and look at them by picture, you know, with the picture and the description, and find that donut you had. Like, I could spend all day on this website.
I mean, I admire the thoroughness of that. I do wonder why, because you're basically just waving in your customers' faces, like, look at all the great stuff we've done that we're not going to do for you again.
But if you wait, they'll do it again.
If you wait, that's the key.
You just need to learn some patience.
Okay.
I guess actually, no, you have plenty of patience because you waited until now to have a jelly donut.
That's true. That's true. So what about Krispy Kreme?
I'm saving my jelly donut for marriage. What about Krispy Kreme? So Krispy Kreme, like, it was kind of the most intense expression of like a fad food, right? And I know they're still around.
Yeah.
And I liked them.
I think that for a glazed raised donut, it's hard to get better than Krispy Kreme. Like, it is basically a sugar bomb, and it's delicious.
I totally agree.
And I also love the size of it. They're a little smaller than, like, the donuts we're eating today.
Oh, so that actually brings me back to the question that I asked earlier about, like, how many do you eat when you come across a box of donuts? Because for me, the answer is 1.5. Whereas a Krispy Kreme, like, sometimes I feel like I'm okay with eating 2 of those.
Yeah, because Krispy Kremes are so little, which is also part of what I like about them. You feel like you can just, you know, keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a regular size donut, I feel like I should only eat 1, but then I'm a little dissatisfied.
Right. I think 1.5 is really the perfect amount.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They should make... Oh, they make whole donuts. They make donut holes. You see where I'm going with this? They should make half donuts.
Yeah, I do.
I think they might come out kind of weird.
You know, I think the other thing with Krispy Kreme, the other reason people love it, is that they have that little sign in the window that they turn on
right.
when the donuts are hot. And I think that, like, with donuts, freshness is key, my friends.
They should, rather than have it be like a neon sign, they should have it be one of those signs that you turn over, like an open-closed sign, and it should say, like, hot on one side and go away. Way on the other side.
Oh, I was thinking it would say hot or not. Like, do you remember that website?
Yes,
or whatever?
I do.
Yeah. Which one are you going to finish?
Oh, that's a good question. So I really like the apple fritter. I love that. The thing about the apple fritter is that it's been like kind of scruffed up so that it gets really crispy.
Like the way the British do with their roasted potatoes.
Exactly. Like, there's a...
Do you think that they, like, fry a donut, put it in a colander, shake it up to get it all rough, and then fry it again?
I think that's what they do. I think that's the magic of the apple fritter. There's a cookbook by Chef Adam Perry Lang called Charred and Scruffed.
Yeah, Charred and Scruffed.
Which I think it's one of my favorite book titles ever.
Brandon has it. He really likes it. Is that what you call it when you scruff up the potato?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you do? Okay, well, I'll scruffed up that apple fritter. I'll scruff your apple fritter.
I'd scruff that.
You did scruff that.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
all right.
Where do we go from here?
Okay. I think we go home.
Well,
I'm already home.
You can find us, as well as a link to that Mr. Donut website
and
probably some other stuff that I'm not thinking of right now. If you go to our website, spilledmilkpodcast.com.
You can speak with us on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast.
Mm-hmm. You can find us on iTunes. That's probably how you found us.
And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
No! The show that... I can't make a scruffing joke.
We just scruffed.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amsterburton.
Love a big box of crap.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's toilet bowl cleaner disinfects both the toilet brush and bowl for 2-in-1 disinfection, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.